Welcome to the New Life Millbrook Weekly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message. For more information about this podcast or other resources, please visit nlmillbrook.com.
I want to thank the youth and the worship team for making some last-minute changes here tonight. Like Peter said, if nothing else, we are flexible. Amen? So we have been talking about knowing God. And we're going to go over, I'm going to do a little bit of a review, and then we'll move on to some new things. But we're going to talk about the benefits of knowing God. Okay, because we want to understand, really, you know, we're all kind of selfish to some degree, and we want to understand what's in it for me for knowing God. What am I going to get out of this relationship? You know, anytime we get into a relationship as human beings, you know, we kind of naturally want to know, what am I going to get out of this relationship? So, you know, if our relationship with God is a covenant relationship, it's Him giving and us giving also. It's both of us giving one to another. However, we come out on the better end of the deal because only God only has good to give, and we don't have a whole lot of good to give. Amen? So what we do is we benefit from our relationship with Him. So our foundation scripture is 2 Peter 1, 2, and 3. And I like the words of that song. It said, "Let all that I am be consumed with who you are, the glory of your presence. What more could I ask for?" And so that's what we want to learn. We want to learn how to enter into His presence, and not just once in a while, but to take His presence with us wherever we go. Not to come in and leave it, but to take it with us wherever we go. So in 2 Peter 1, 2, and 3, I'm going to read that. It says, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God." So how are we going to get that grace and peace? Through the knowledge of God. It's going to be multiplied. It's not added, but it's multiplied through the knowledge of God. And how many of y'all need grace in your life? I need grace in my life. How many of you need peace in your life? I need peace in my life. And so it's multiplied to us. It says, and Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. How? Through the knowledge of Him. So we get grace and peace are multiplied to us through the knowledge of Him. All things that pertain to life and godliness are given to us through the knowledge of Him. It's by knowing Him that we're able to walk in these things and obtain these things in our lives. You've got to know who God is. You've got to know the His character. Because if you don't know His character, then you don't know how to depend on Him. And we're going to go into that a little bit more tonight. But the first one I talked about, the first benefit of knowing God and being intimate with Him, I'm using the word intimacy because intimacy is the deeper depth of knowing Him. Knowing Him brings boldness. And so we talked about Elijah and how when Elijah went before Ahab and he told Ahab it wasn't going to rain for 3 years, he used the verbiage and said, "The God before whom I stand." And I talked about how it wasn't just Elijah met with God every once in a while. He said, "The God before," and that word "before," we talked about how that literally means face, or the way of the turning of the face. "Before whose face I stand in His presence." That word "stand" means a continual abiding, continually being there in His presence. Elijah didn't get so bold as to go up to Ahab and say, "Well, I'll tell you what, King, it's not going to rain until I give the word for it to rain." He didn't get that bold by just once in a while having a little prayer time. He didn't get that bold by just going to church. He didn't get that bold by just praying over his food or hanging out with the guys at the gate. He got that bold by spending time being in God's face. And so he was able to stand before Ahab and say, "It's not going to rain until I say it's going to rain." And trust that he wasn't going to get seriously killed by doing that. So, and that's what happened. That's number one, intimacy with God brings boldness. Number two, we talked about how intimacy with God brings revelation knowledge. And we talked about how when Nebuchadnezzar had the dream and how he wouldn't even tell anybody what his dream was, he wanted them to be able to tell him what his dream is, and he wanted them to be able to interpret that dream. And he said when the wise men came to him and he called them in and they said, well, God, King, we can't tell you what that dream means until you tell us what the dream is. And it just ticked the king off, and he said, well, if you guys can't tell me, we're killing all the seers. We're going to kill everybody. Well, Daniel found out about it, and he said, hey, let me just see God on this, because Daniel would have been included in that. And so he sought God about it, and I want to read to you what it said in Daniel 2:19-23. It says, that night the answer to the mystery was given to Daniel in a vision, and Daniel blessed the God of heaven, saying, blessed be the name of God forever and ever. He knows all. Say, God knows all. God knows all. He does all. Say, God does all. He changes the seasons and guides history. He raises up kings and also brings them down. He provides both intelligence and discernment. How many of y'all need intelligence and discernment? I need intelligence and discernment operating in my life. This scripture tells me that God provides that for us. It says he opens up the depths, he tells secrets, he sees in the dark, and light spills out of him. God reveals stuff to us when we don't even know what in the world's going on. How many of you have ever had a time in your life when you just didn't know what to do? I think everybody, if you're over 2 years old, has had that time in your life. But the Word tells us that he opens up the depths, he tells the secret, he sees in the dark, light spills out of him, he provides intelligence and discernment. Revelation knowledge comes from knowing God. So we all know the story. God told Daniel the dream. Daniel told Nebuchadnezzar, and everybody was saved. Number three, intimacy with God causes you to be strong and do exploits. Causes you to be strong and do exploits. Daniel 11:32, I'm going to read that out of the Amplified. It says, but the people who know their God shall prove themselves strong and shall stand firm and do exploits. Say, I can. Do exploits. The word exploits means a daring act or a bold deed. A daring act or a bold deed. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean doing some kind of 360 on a skateboard or something like that. What it means is you do something that nobody else is willing to do, for one thing. Have you ever thought about a daring act or a bold deed being the person who stands in peace in the midst of turmoil? You're being different. Have you ever thought of a daring act or a bold deed as being different? Is daring to be who God created you to be instead of going with what everybody else says is the status quo? That takes guts. That can be a daring act or a bold exploit. Have you ever thought about a daring act or a bold exploit is speaking life to someone who it doesn't look like they're going to make it, but yet you stand up there and you start declaring that that person will live and not die and declare the works of the Lord, and people look at you like you've lost your mind because it looks like that person's about to die? A daring act or a bold exploit is standing, being willing to stand on the Word of God no matter what it looks like around you. It's not always killing a giant or killing the lion. It's being willing to stand up and do what God's called you to do. In Deuteronomy 31:8, I'm not going to read all that. It talks about how Joshua was getting ready to take the leadership of Israel, and the Word says that God will march with you. God will march with you, is what Moses told Joshua. And we talked about how one of the reasons that God was with Joshua was because, remember I talked about how Moses went into the tabernacle and he met with God and the glory of God was there. And Moses came out to talk to the people. But what did Joshua do? He stayed in the tabernacle. He stayed in the tabernacle in the presence of God, seeking the face of God, so that when it was his time to take that leadership role, God was with him. God wasn't with him because he was just hanging out with Moses every once in a while. God wasn't with him just because he and Caleb might have been good friends. God was with him because he was with God. He spent time in the face of God. Intimacy with God produces peace. We read the scripture in Isaiah 26:3. You will guard him and keep him in perfect peace and perfect and constant peace, whose mind, both its inclinations and its character, is stayed on you because he commits himself to you. He leans on you and hopes confidently in you. And if we go back to our scripture in 2 Peter, it said, grace and what? Peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of him. He keeps us in perfect peace when our mind is stayed on him because we commit ourselves to him. We take our lives and we say, God, I trust in you. No matter what the situation is around me, my family may be going crazy, but God, I trust in you. I commit my life to you, Father. No matter what the world looks like, and the world looks pretty doggone crazy. But we say, you know what? It's you and me, God. I commit my life to you. And you know what? When you know God, you know that if you commit your life to him, he's got your back. He's got it all under control. He's not going to let us down. He's not going to fail us. He's not going to forsake us, and he's never going to leave us. Number five, intimacy with God provides protection and security. I read Psalm 91, and we're not going to read that whole entire scripture, but it talks about how God keeps us. And how he watches over us, and how he protects us, and how he hedges us about. Intimacy with God provides protection and security. You know what? We need protection and security in today's world, don't we? I mean, you know, it's getting to where you can't even hardly walk into a mall nowadays and think, wonder if there's some psycho crazy dude here with a gun. Or a knife, or whatever. We got to know we've got the protection of God around us. We've got to know when we know him, we can go places and we can know he's got us. I know I shared with y'all about how when we went to Honduras, some of the exciting adventures we had, and how I had to really, really trust God. And when you get in a little airplane in Honduras, where you don't even know if the oil's been changed or if it really is full of gas, and you realize, you look up and the ceiling is duct taped together, you better know. And so I'm sitting in that plane going, God, you didn't bring me here to let me die. You didn't bring me here to let me die. You didn't bring me here to let me die. I cannot tell you how many times I said that on that trip. When we're walking through the neighborhood and there's men sitting in machine gun nests on the corners of the gates of the houses in the neighborhood. God, you didn't bring me here to let me die. You didn't bring me here to let me die. You know, we got to know. We have peace. We have protection when we know him. See, everybody wants the benefits of knowing God. But it takes the knowing him to have the benefits. You can't have the benefits of our inheritance just because you're sitting here in this church today. Now, Peter will have the benefits of our inheritance. Maybe. Well, I don't know. He's in competition with the dog right now. So, but you can raise the dog and praise the Lord. But why? Because we have relationship. Now, you know what? He is our son. But you know what? If we didn't have that fellowship and that intimacy with him, and he was just some vagabond off someplace, he wouldn't be a part of our inheritance. it, I'll go to the dog and Heidi. All right, so along the same lines of protection and security is that God works for those. He works for you. Say, I need God to work for me. I need God to work for me. How many of y'all need God to work for you? I need God to work for me. I mean, really, I do. I need him to work on my behalf. So let's look at this scripture in Isaiah 64:4, and I'm going to read that out of the Amplified also. Isaiah 64:4. Have y'all noticed my Amplified's my favorite version? Okay. From of old, no one has heard or perceived by the ear, nor has the eye seen a God besides you who works and shows himself active on behalf of him who earnestly waits for him. He works and shows himself active on behalf of him who earnestly waits for him. Now, I had to look up that word wait. The King James says waiteth. It means piercing, to adhere to await. He actively works and shows himself active on behalf of him who is like Elijah was in his face. Who is like Joshua, who continually sought after his presence. Who is like Daniel, who went and prayed and sought God for the answer. He works, see, like I said, everybody wants all the promises. And I know here of so many Christian people saying stuff about, well, you know, talking about what God will do for them. But you know what? They're not serving God. And then they wonder what went wrong. Now, I'm not talking about works, all right? And if I ever get to it, which I probably won't tonight, we're going to get to scripture about works. But I'm not talking about works and just doing a bunch of good stuff. What I'm talking about is relationship. Knowing him. Having that fellowship with him. Because when you have a relationship with someone, that person just wants to do for you. They just want to be there for you. And you know what? When you know you can trust in them. Oop. Check my phone, will you? Direction comes from intimacy with God. Direction comes from intimacy with God. Proverbs 3:5-6 in the Amplified. We all know this scripture. I'm sure most of us do anyway. Lean on, trust in, and be confident in the Lord with all your heart and your mind, and do not rely on your own insight or understanding. In all your ways, recognize and acknowledge him, and he will direct and make straight and plain your paths. You can't trust or be confident in someone with all your heart and your mind if you don't know them. You have to have an intimate knowledge of them. If you don't truly know them, you're not going to be able to completely put your trust in that person, are you? You just can't. You don't know what they're going to do. To truly know God, you have to know the Word. The Bible is the only book that reveals who God truly is. There's a lot of commentaries. There's a lot of books you can get, study sources, all kinds of things. But it is the Word of God. It is the Bible who is going to teach you who God truly is. The more you're in the Word, the more you get knowledge of God. The more you get knowledge of who God is, the more you can trust him. The more you're willing to trust him, the more you're going to see his faithfulness and you can relate to him. The more you experience his faithfulness, the more you will rely on and depend on and trust in him. The more you rely on and depend on and trust in him, the more you're willing to step out in faith. So it's a circle. It's a big cycle. You got to know him to step out in faith in him. And the more you step out in faith in him and you see his faithfulness, the more you're willing to step out in faith. God will prove himself to you when you're willing to step out in faith on his word. It's all about knowing him. Matthew 6:33 in the Amplified, we all know this, but seek, aim at, and strive after, first of all, his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right, then all these things taken together will be given to you besides. The very first thing is to seek him. The top priority is seeking him. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And that doesn't mean seek heaven. The kingdom of God is God's way of doing and being right. So when we seek who he is, we seek his way of being, his way of doing right. The Bible says all these things will be added unto you. Now, how many of you want all these things? I do. I want all the benefits. But you know what? There's a prerequisite here. It says seek, aim at, and strive after his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right. But you know, we're so casual in the church now, and we just feel like, well, it'll just happen. It'll just come flowing on me. Because after all, I go to a full gospel, word of faith, spirit-filled, Bible preaching, teaching church. It's all about knowing him and seeking after him. We've got to know God, not just about him. We've got to know him, not just about him. Like I said, it's not about just coming to church. It's about getting to know him. You know, my friend Elaine, I know my friend Elaine. And how do I do that? Why do I know her so well? Well, number one, we've been friends for over 30 years. Number two, we've spent a lot of time together. And I've listened to her talk a whole lot. But you know what? She's listened to me talk a whole lot. And we've shared our hearts with one another, and we've been with each other through the good times and the bad times. We've seen each other laugh, and we've seen each other cry. We know each other's comings and goings and ins and outs. So if you came up to me and you said that you made Elaine really mad at you and she cussed you out, I would know you are not telling the truth. Because in all these years of knowing that woman, I've never heard her cuss. And let me tell you what, I've seen her mad. I've seen her hurt. I've seen her betrayed. I've seen her cry. I've seen her throw in the towel. But I have never, not one time, ever heard her cuss somebody out or cuss at me when sometimes I deserved it. So I'm saying all this to say I know her. So if you told me I made Elaine really mad and she turned around and walked out, that I would go for. Why? Because I know her. So when you know a person you can trust in and you know that person's character and you know what they will do and you know what they won't do. So when you know God and you know his character, you know what he will do and you know what he won't do, and there's not a whole bunch of second guessing about it. You don't have to wonder, is he a good God? Well, yes, he's a good God. We know that. How do we know that? Just look at Jesus. And we'll talk about that some more too. Number 8. Intimacy with God makes a way for God to answer our prayers. Now, how many of you want God to answer your prayers? You know, we were in prayer the other night, and I told EJ, I said, we are not here to pray. We are here to get results. I don't want to just say a bunch of words. If I thought when I prayed nothing was going to happen, I wouldn't do it. I mean, seriously. Who's got time for that? Why am I going to sit there and pour my guts out and pray and spend time seeking after God when deep down inside I don't think anything's really going to happen? No. When I go and I pray, I do that because you know what? And this may sound like I'm bragging. God hears me. He hears me. Now, how can I say that? Because that's what the Word tells me. He hears me. He hearkens to my prayers. And the Word tells me that the fervent and effectual prayer of a righteous man avails much, so I know when I pray, because I know I'm righteous because the Word says I am. I know He hears my prayers, and I know they're going to be accomplished. And you know what? I believe that, whether you do or not. You may think I'm doing great exploits because I might be going against the flow right here. Intimacy with God makes a way for God to answer our prayers. John 15:7 in the Amplified. If you live in me, abide vitally united to me, and my words remain in you and continue, to live in your hearts, ask what you will and it shall be done for you. Now, is that in the Word? Does the Bible lie? No, it does not lie. It is true. So it's telling me, if I ask what I will, it shall be done to me. Well, yes and no. Because there's a prerequisite to that verse. If you live in, abide bodily united with me, and my words remain in you and continue to live in your heart, then you can ask what you will and it will be done to you. Why is there that prerequisite there? Number one, we are talking about knowing God in an intimate relationship with Him. But number two, when you spend time with Him, you're not going to ask something that isn't in His will. Because you and God are going to be in sync with one another, and you're not going to be asking something stupid. You're going to be asking something that's in accordance with the Word of God and with His will, and of course He's going to do what His will is. Is it His will to heal? Yes, it is. We know it's His will to heal. So when we pray for healing, I believe when I pray for healing, you're healed. Plain and simple. Is prosperity His will? Yes, it is. It says, if we live, abide. The Amplified says united, vitally united. The word vitally means in such a manner as to give life. Vitally united, in such a manner as to give life. Essentially, extremely, indispensably, crucially, desperately, truly, absolutely, critically, and fundamentally united with God. Ask what you will. Then it shall be done unto you. But then we have this whole thing going on in the Christian world today that you can do whatever you want to do, be who you want to be, do what you want to do. And because the Scripture says, ask whatever you want, He'll do it for you. That's not what it says. It doesn't say live your own lifestyle and then God's going to do everything you want Him to do for you. It says be vitally united with Him and then ask what you will. And it will be given to you. See, we all want the ask what you will part. We all want that. But we don't want the condition that goes before the ask what you will part. This is the glory of spending time with our most wonderful Heavenly Father. We walk together. We're vitally united. We want what He wants. And it's always good. What God wants is always good. Psalm 34:10 in the Amplified. Psalm 34:10. It says, the young lions lack food and suffer hunger, but they who seek, inquire of, and require the Lord, listen to this, by right of their need and on the authority of His word, none of them shall lack any beneficial thing. None of them shall lack any beneficial thing. Those who seek, inquire of and require the Lord, by right of their need and on the authority of His word, none of them shall lack any beneficial thing. Say, I don't lack any beneficial. I don't like any beneficial thing for my life. Why? because I seek after the Lord. I inquire of Him. I'm bodily united with Him. See, you can walk in that. That's not just for a select few people. That's not just for the pastors. That's for every born-again believer, every person who loves God. Matthew 19:26, the last part of that says, but with God, all things are possible. Like I said, we all want the all things. I want the all things. I want what 2 Peter says, all things that are requisite to life and godliness. I want all those things. The peace, the prosperity, the health, the joy, walking in love, having my needs met. I want all those things. And I don't mean to sound all greedy and all that kind of stuff, but who doesn't? Well, my Bible tells me it's through the knowledge of Him. It's through knowing Him, spending time with Him. That word with God, sometimes, you know, I used to always think, but with, it says, but with God all things are possible. I used to think that meant, but God can do anything, basically. But that's not what it means. It means when we are with God. That's what it means. When you look up that word with, it means to be near, to be beside, to be in the vicinity of, local. It's a place. It's a state of being. When we are with God, when we are one with Him, bodily united with Him, seeking after Him, all things are possible. He will move on your behalf. He will work for those who seek after Him. He is a faithful God. Faithful God. Like I said, we all want the power and we all want the peace and we all want the things. So why don't we pursue the God that can provide all those things? Why don't we? What are we doing with our time? What are we doing with our energy? If all of this is true, and I believe it is. Call me crazy. But I believe it's all true. If all of this is true, then are we so foolish not to seek the one that can provide all that for us? What are we doing? I got to ask myself that question about myself. And I hope you ask yourself that question about you. Are we so distracted that we continually find ourselves occupied with something else? I talked about that a couple weeks ago, about how my all the information that comes at us. Specifically, I use my cell phone for an example, and all the notifications that we get, and how they can be so distracting in our lives, and how we get information that we didn't even ask for. But yet it's coming at us all the time. But what is the answer to all that confusion? What is the answer to all that turmoil? Well, the Bible says grace and peace are multiplied to me through the knowledge of Him. And I need that grace and I need that peace operating in my life. I just want to stir you up tonight. Not to be satisfied where you are in your walk with God. Don't be satisfied. Don't just keep flowing, you know, going the same old way. Don't be satisfied. I don't want to be satisfied with my walk with God. I've said it many, many times, there's always more. There's always more in Him. It doesn't matter how long we've been serving Him, how much we spend in the Word, there's always more. It always gets better. It always gets deeper. It always gets more intriguing. It always gets more exciting. More revelation. I mean, think about Daniel. I want to go back to him just a second. Think about how awesome that was. When they're seeking and praying to God for to know a dream that somebody dreamed and to get the interpretation of what that dream meant. And God downloads it into him, gives him that dream. I mean, look, this is a man that sought God all the time. You know, he was the one that stood in the window and prayed when you were going to get your head chopped off if you prayed. And God downloads this dream to him. What must that have been like for him? And he jumps up and he says, I've got the answer. God has given me the answer. And he was able to save all those people from that. So I want to encourage you, don't be satisfied. Let's reach for that. Let's reach to be that type of person that Joshua was, who stayed in the tent in the presence of God and eventually became the next leader of Israel. Like I said, it's not about works, but we do need to be aware of our relationship. We need to know where we are with him and where are we going. Where are we going in our walk with God? Where are we going? That's what I'm asking myself, and I hope that's what you're asking yourself. Where am I going with this relationship that I have with God? What am I doing with it, with this relationship that I have with God? Am I just come to a standstill, or am I going to keep on keeping on and growing? Amen? Father, we just thank you so much for your word. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We thank you for your faithfulness, and we know we can depend on you. We thank you that we know when we come to you, that you make yourself known to us, because that's what you want, that intimate relationship with us. Father, I bless the people tonight in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father, blessed going in and blessed coming out. In the name of Jesus, amen. Y'all are dismissed.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Have a great week.